Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Get ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast lead over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome into the playbook for Wednesday here in September as we work our way into week one of the NFL season. Patriots, Miami Dolphins next Monday night. Can't get here soon enough. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino from PFW joined us here in the opening hour. Andy Kent from Dolphins.com will join us in 20 minutes so we can start breaking it down and looking at the matchup on Monday night. I don't know about you, but I'd play tomorrow if I could.
Can't get here fast enough, as you said, JR. No. And welcome back.
Thanks.
My first opportunity to say
since
hello
you were
in the 2011 season.
Since you were off yesterday and we sufficiently hammered you for it. But I
did you really?
It's your schedule. I get it.
You took part. You actually succumbed to peer pressure with Andy and Paul.
It's
because
you weren't here for the debut edition of 2011. I know you gotta get
I'm on a player schedule in the season, John.
I understand.
You know, not here.
I understand.
Not obligated on Tuesdays.
I totally and completely understand. Doesn't make it any easier, but I totally
back for another one, man.
Yeah.
Back for another one.
Ready to roll?
This I thought was going to be a nice, somewhat easy, relatively uneventful offseason where we could actually stop, take a breath, reassess things, and you know what? It went faster than any other offseason that I can remember.
Really?
For us, it did.
Even without
with
the CBA?
And everything.
Why?
Well, because we were covering
to
the lockout.
To me, it went long and long. I mean, it dragged.
No, as soon as we lost to the Jets, you know, that first week we did some final housekeeping for the 10 season.
Right, right.
And then we immediately jumped into our combine preps.
Right.
Andy and I did.
Right.
Because, you know, Paul doesn't go to the combine. He's above that. But so we started doing that, and before we knew it, it was and then I also went to the owners' meetings in March. Before we knew it, we were done with the combine. The draft came up very quickly. We had the draft, and then at that point, we were in lockout mode. So took a little bit of time off, but didn't really go anywhere because we weren't sure what was going to happen with our situation. Some teams were, you know, taking drastic measures. Ours didn't, thankfully. But then we just started getting, you know, there were player appearances in the offseason that we covered. And I, for some reason, John, it just went quickly. Even without the daily, you know, offseason conditioning program availabilities that we get, even without the training camps, the passing camps, the mini camps, for some reason, this just flew by. And then when it did end, it ended abruptly. It was like going 90 miles an hour on the highway and jamming the brakes. All of a sudden, we were going from no football to an entire offseason's worth of football in the first week or so, and then camp started, and then before I know it, the preseason's done, and here we are.
Didn't you have real doubts, though, that the season was going to get started on time?
I did, and then all of a sudden, just like that, you snap a finger, and okay, we've come to an agreement, let's go, let's get going now.
Okay.
It just,
interesting.
Oof, it went fast, my friend. It went fast.
Well, you know, at least we have it. That's the main thing. Because the last time you and I spoke before Jets game, nobody was sure. Nobody was sure what we were going to have in store. And obviously it played itself out. They took it right down to the last stinking second. But
I hope you didn't, because it seems like just yesterday that Brooklyn Matt wrote us that really long manifesto begging you not to go and call Little League games. One of the best emails of all time. So hopefully your offseason didn't see you having to resort to those measures.
No, it was close. I'm still doing some Little League stuff. But that's all right. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. Clearly, you know, this team for 2011 now, Eric, as we build toward Monday night, it's still in a state of flux. Obviously, the Patriots earlier today made it official with releasing Darius Butler and Gerard Warren, at least the team.
Surprising about the second one there.
Yeah, a little bit about Gerard Warren, although it makes sense to me in terms of the salary measures, and I firmly expect him to come back after the first week.
At some point. I don't know how soon or late that'll be, but I think you're right.
I think
especially
he'll come
back. Based on the way Bill answered the question today about whether or not we could see him coming back, and he said, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He'll be back at some point. But,
you know, but
I don't know if it's a salary thing, John. They're $12.5 million under the cap. They don't have anything to worry about salary-wise.
Yeah, but aren't they still trying to? Well, you mean for this year alone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, then they should be okay. Maybe they just, you know how the Patriots are, though, with value, though, Eric.
Oh,
and
yeah,
if,
sure.
If a position player is, you know, getting paid more than what they deem the value is for that spot, they're still going to look to cut. I mean, after all, it is Robert Kraft's money we're playing with.
Yeah. Here. No, I wouldn't rule anything out. You're right. But I just think it's a little surprising just that a veteran who they clearly wanted back. They made an effort to bring him back in the preseason.
I think they felt like this was the one spot that they could get away with. You know, they tried to get away with, and I put quotes around that, they tried to do that with Yateman and Smith, the two rookie tight ends, and they failed miserably.
Right.
Bit them right in the ass. So now what they're doing, though, is that rather than get rid of two younger guys like Love and Pryor, who I know they like on the line, and a very real possibility that, you know, one of those guys get picked up if they waive him, Warren, being a veteran, is going to be a little bit more pricey for a team to pick up off the roster, especially before week one when you got to pay him his due for the whole year.
Right.
They felt like this was something they could afford to do and get by with.
Yeah, and he's the kind of player who, after having played here last year, kind of wants to be back here,
yes,
I think.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Even if another team expressed interest, he might say,
no thanks, I'd like to stick.
Yeah. So I think you're right. They probably figure they could bargain with him. The one surprise to me still, now that we're, 4 days after the final cuts were made, I don't know the kid really at all, but Jeff Tarpinian. I don't know how he made the team, first of all, because he was injured and didn't really do
that's right.
much
but I did know,
during the preseason.
I did know, and I said this yesterday. This team is like Jeff Tarpinian from day one. I think when they picked him up via free agency that they were surprised he wasn't drafted. They gambled and won in that particular instance because I feel like if the Patriots thought he was going to get picked, they would have used one of the late round picks on him. I also know, and you obviously realize this as well, that there's the pipeline and the familiarity between Belichick and Kirk Ferentz.
Yep.
And I think that had a lot to do with picking up A.J. Eads as well from Miami because there's the Iowa pedigree there. So there's a whole familiarity thing going on here. I've known since when they signed Jeff Tarpinian to a free agent deal that, you know what, this is going to be interesting. Here's your candidate. Every year, somebody from nowhere makes the roster.
At least one.
I knew he was the lead dog in that hunt. And I also thought Yateman stood a chance too, and obviously he did until the last second.
Well, all of that's true, but I'm just, It just seems like it's uncharacteristic of them to take a guy based on what he has done in the past, as opposed to what he can do for them right now.
Well,
so
obviously they think he's very close,
but they think he's close
to ready now because they wouldn't have done this.
But I wonder what they saw in the limited amount of time he was in uniform for the last month, what it was that impressed them, because we were every day out at practice at training camp. And saw all the preseason games, and never saw him do anything that made me say, "Oh wow, that kid's got something." You know, we said it about Aaron Laverius, we said it about Will Yateman early on, and that continued to prove us right as we went on. I just never saw it from Tarpinian, and I hope he works out. I'll be excited to see him actually do something.
Well,
so I know what it is.
I never saw it from Ross Idaley, but we know why he stuck because he was
a second round pick. Yeah.
But we also know that the clock is ticking on him. You just got rid of a first round pick and a second round pick in basically one fell swoop in the last week.
And you haven't had luck with second round corners.
No.
In the last.
So that's why I'm saying Dowling had better prove himself fairly quickly. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be right back to the whole Darius Butler thing again.
Yeah. And Terrence Wheatley.
And Terrence Wheatley.
Him.
Jonathan Wilhite,
who was a little later round, but still. Draft picks who were
Draft picks who are not panning out, and so it's time to, you know, guys, it's time to produce.
Yeah.
And to me, that leads toward what else I mentioned a little bit yesterday is that there's a real carpe diem attitude around here now. Mm-hmm. They want players to perform now because there's an expectation to win now with this team, which is another reason why I think we've seen the roster fluctuation. So my question to fans today, and obviously you can check into the show, several ways that you check into the show and you participate in the program. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Again, that's 508-298-0398. 0398.
Yeah, new digits to remember this year, John.
Well, it's because we have multiple lines. Mm-hmm. Operators are standing by.
We do.
You know, free Ginsu knives for anybody who calls, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
obviously, webradio@patriots.com is how you get us via email. That's never changed. Webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page is up and rolling as well. If you're not with us on Facebook, just friend me, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. I understand that there are some impersonators and imposters out there with the same name.
You've been hacked?
No, I don't think I've been hacked. I just think there's more John Rooks than I realize there are in the Facebook universe.
With the E at the end?
Yeah, with the E at the end. So, find me. I'm the one that, you know, has the,
John Rook.
Yes,
please stand up.
The only. My profile photo has me with my glasses on with the little beams of light coming out.
Beams of light?
Yeah.
Were you
like
one of the
alien.
X-Men?
Nice. No, it was a nice little gift that I got from Foster Grant. You know, I could actually see in the dark when the arena lights shut down and I could still see my notes in front of me. So Foster Grant sent me some.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's great.
They're pretty high-tech, Eric.
Are they,
very high-tech.
Are they X-ray vision, if you know what I mean?
They might be.
Really?
I'm not going to tell.
Oh, damn you.
I don't kiss and tell. Come on. So, friend me on Facebook if you're not already a friend. We'll accept the request. You can post your questions on Facebook. And, yes, the chat function is up and running on my Facebook page as well. So if you want to chat during the show, you can do that. I mean, there's several different ways. And you can also follow me on Twitter, @JRook0722. So there you go. There's a lot of ways you can get in contact with the show and keep in touch.
JRook.
7702? 0722.
J Rook 0722. Sorry, I screwed you all up.
0722. There you go. That's because there were too many John Rooks on Twitter, so I had
721 of them? So you became the 722nd?
Sort of. I don't know. I just said, well, 0722 is my birth date.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I came up with 0722. There you go. So it's J Rook 0722 on Twitter. Now, question I have, though, is whether or not you, as a fan, have concern over the roster turnover. There's a lot of roster turnover. I mean, we had the roster set at 53, 3 days ago?
Yeah.
And already, the roster has turned over several times to the point now where Adam Schefter, and I saw this, he tweeted from ESPN.com yesterday, and it depends on what happens with Gerard Warren, if he gets picked up by somebody else, but with Darius Butler being picked up by Carolina, there are now 13 players who have been in camp with the Patriots this year who now are playing for other teams in the NFL. 13!
Yeah.
And the quip from Adam was, and it made me laugh out loud, literally, LOL, the Patriots are a farm team.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, certainly, there's great respect for the Patriots' talent evaluation around the NFL, but it also begs the question, why are they getting rid of guys who can still play if other teams really love them?
Well, because obviously they think the guys who they kept are better than the ones that they got rid of. I mean,
okay.
I don't think there's any more to it than that.
All right. If that is the case, then doesn't this put a little bit more pressure to win right off the top? I mean, if this team struggles out of the gate,
it'll be. I mean, even if they hadn't cut some of those players, there would still be a hue and cry if they stumble out of the gate. I don't think there's any more pressure on them than there would have been or has been in the last, you know, 5 years. I also don't think it's that unusual that we've seen the roster change in the last few days. I have this. Vague sense that we've done this before. We've seen this before. I don't think any team around the league, when they make their 53 man on that Saturday, goes in the following week with the exact same 53. It's very, I don't think it's uncommon at all.
It just seems like a little bit
because you have guys from other teams who are cut that other teams may have been interested
in. Look at
Will Yeatman, perfect example.
Right.
And then you decide, oh, you know what? We really liked this kid before. Let's take him now. We have a chance. We're not going to get this chance again. You have guys on your roster who are not necessarily, you know, you weren't completely thrilled with, so you decide to make a move.
There's just a little bit of a scurrying of activity, a little bit more to try to get your ducks set in a row before, you know, the season opener.
I think that we've had that feel more so this year than any other year too, because of the way the season started with such a running start.
Fair assessment.
You know, so I think there's still a little bit of that feel to it that I don't think teams have actually had a chance to say, eh.
All right, okay. Let's put a little addendum on this then. Considering the moves that the team has made thus far, What's priority one now for the Patriots? What should they, what area of the team? Yesterday I talked about three areas that were certainly worth watching, that bear watching in the opening, you know, week or so of the season. Offensive line, defensive secondary, tight end, and not necessarily in that order. They have made moves now. They picked up, they did sign Dan Gronkowski.
Yeah.
So now we have two Gronks on the roster.
Yep.
They also have signed linebacker AJ Eads. Who has the Iowa pedigree? So spent
getting,
last year.
Yeah.
Spent last year on the IR because of a knee injury.
Younger at linebacker.
So they got a little bit younger at linebacker, which is certainly going to help. We think. They really haven't yet approached the offensive line, unless you.
Well, they signed Brian Waters the other day.
Yeah,
Pro Bowler, the established veteran in this league. They solidified a spot that was in need of a plugging up.
Right.
Stephen Neal retired. Dan Connolly, the incumbent who had played that spot, you know, with some degree of success the last couple of years, in relief, was going to be the guy. And then he had a couple of injuries during training camp, had an elbow that kept him out for a short time, and then he had either the foot or ankle. We'll find out for sure tomorrow when the injury
right.
report comes out, what his deal is. But you add a guy like Waters, so now you have two Pro Bowl guards. You have a center who's very consistent. I'll say that about Dan Copen. Quality center. And you have stability at left tackle, mm-hmm. where Matt Light comes back. Right tackle I'm a little bit concerned with right now, John, because we haven't done the practice report yet, but the only player who hasn't been out there the last few days...
has been Vollmer,
Sebastian
right?
Vollmer, yeah. And I don't remember seeing him get hurt anywhere. I don't know what his injury is. So I'm a little concerned about that. I like what you say about the secondary. I agree that it's gotten thinner, and more question marks have been brought up than answered. And the other area I'd like to see, though, is defensive line, because A, they brought in so much talent. B, they've clearly made a move to a 4-3 front,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to see how that experiment works out when we play real football and not just these non-scheme type preseason games. How they use this to game plan against the Dolphins, the Chargers, and so forth going forward. I'm really curious to see how this influx of veteran, high-profile talent is going to work out. So that's one area I would add to your list.
Okay, I think that's legitimate. What is your area that you think this team needs to address next? webradio@patriots.com 508-298-0398 is the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can hit us on Facebook as well, John Rook on Facebook, at jrook0722 on Twitter. Whatever you like to do, where do you think this team needs to go now? My own personal thought here is that I'd still like to see a little bit of, I think the priority right now has to still be in the secondary. Just because I'm still shocked that they got rid of Brandon Merriweather. Safety in particular.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that there's enough depth, or at least the quality depth that they need to have at cornerback. And if they get one injury in either of those two areas, they're in a little bit of trouble,
yeah.
or at least they're in a little bit of hurt.
I'm very anxious to see Josh Barrett, because this was a guy that. We were talking about making roster cuts after the roster was after the final cuts. Last year in September, he was cut by the Dolphins. By the Broncos. They brought him in here knowing he had a shoulder injury and wasn't going to play this last year. Then he comes in this summer, gets hurt again very early on, practiced once or twice, and then missed most of the preseason, played in the finale against the Giants. But this is a guy who has almost virtually no film in a Patriots uniform, and they have kept him for a full year.
That's a good point.
I am curious to see what he can do, because he's, I don't know if you've seen or talked to him, John, when you were here during the preseason, but he's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger safety they've had since Rodney Harrison,
mm-hmm.
physically.
Mm-hmm.
Tall,
mm-hmm.
just weight, everything.
He's
So yeah. I'm intrigued by what he could possibly bring. I haven't seen it yet. So... But I agree that there are question marks at that position, and if they suffer a casualty or two, that's not going to be good.
Well, you know, they have brought in some players for workouts over the course of the last couple of days. Let's see, they brought in, they did bring in Darren Sharper earlier in the preseason.
Right.
They brought in Will Allen at a corner spot a couple of days ago. Yesterday, maybe?
That was reportedly yesterday, I think.
Yeah, reportedly yesterday. So, obviously, they are continuing to look at the potential for... I guess they're just doing their due diligence. We talk about how they do their due diligence a lot.
Their emergency list.
Emergency list. And so maybe their emergency list is a little deeper, so they're trying to get ducks in a row in case something does happen. But to me, that's the one area of concern right now that I think stands out. Maybe less so if we see those veteran players you were talking about, especially on the defensive front, come through and supply the kind of pressure on an opposing quarterback that we still think that they can do. Because anytime you're... pressing from within and collapsing the pocket, you're making it that much easier for your secondary to play in the backfield.
Right. And, you know, I'm really anxious to see Will Fork and Haynesworth in particular clogging up the middle of opponents' offensive lines.
We're, by the way, pretty much in agreement on Will Fork and Haynesworth at tackle and then Carter.
Probably
and,
Carter.
And Ellis at ends.
I think of it maybe. I don't know if you'll see that right away because I'm not sure what, if conditioning wise, if Ellis is back to where he should be.
Right.
But certainly Carter made an impression as soon as he got here. I think that those three are locks, and I think Ellis eventually, if he's still capable, will be that guy. You might see a little bit of a different combination on the very first snap Monday night in Miami, just based on whatever personnel the Dolphins come out with. But
gotcha.
I think that's probably fair to say those four are going to be the guys eventually. I mean, you throw in maybe a Mark Anderson, maybe a Mike Wright at the Ellis position for the time being.
Right.
But even Wright is coming back from injury that made him miss most of training camp too. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's Mark Anderson, Will Fork, Haynesworth, Carter initially. But by the time we get rolling, it's going to probably be Ellis. In the on the other side.
Do you really don't think Ellis will be out there starting on Monday?
He might, because he did play most of the first half against the Giants last week. He said that his conditioning afterwards was almost there.
Okay.
So I'm just giving him a window of a week or two for him to get fully back up to speed.
Well, we know, first of all, that it really may not matter much who starts. It may be one of those things that, you know, who's finishing.
It really does.
Who's playing in the fourth quarter.
Really
because,
does, right.
And even Albert Haynesworth has talked about this, about how the depth is such where he feels like, hey, I'm going to go out there for two snaps and I'm going to give
and
it
I'll come back
100%
out,
and then I'm going to come out and get a blow and then I'm going back in again.
Yeah, you're right.
Because the rotation of the depth is such that they can do that.
Yeah, it's one of the most overrated stats, I think, is starts. Because it's one play.
Right.
It's not an assessment of the entire game. You look at it on paper, you say so-and-so started the game. The implication is he's a starter and he played most of the game. But there have been plenty of times when, you go out in a nickel defense and there's a backup cornerback who starts, but he's not a starter at corner.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a misleading stat, I think, because it doesn't really tell the whole story.
All right, then you need to give us your thoughts. Which area of the team is at top priority for you now when you consider all of the roster moves, a plethora of roster moves that have been made over the course of the last couple of days since the roster was set at 53, and it is still moving, and it may move further still between now and Monday.
Plenty of time for it,
there's plenty of time for it as well. You've got 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hit us up at webradio@patriots.com via email, Facebook as well, and at jrook0722 on Twitter. And we'll read some of your comments as they come along. Andy Kent from Dolphins.com will be joining us shortly. We've got a little equipment snafu here that we're cleaning up, and the computer monitor here just went dark.
Oh, that's never a good
completely
thing.
Dark.
As long as you don't get a blue screen.
No. It's not a blue screen, but it's a black screen. I mean, it's dead.
Well,
so I'm going to switch to the other side over there.
I learned this offseason, because I got a new laptop for this 2011 season.
Yeah.
I learned in the offseason that if you use the words blue and screen next to each other when talking or emailing to an IT person, that's like DEFCON 1. They come running.
Blue screen.
Yeah,
blue screen. Well, that's because it usually signifies virus. Right? Of some
sort. Signify something very bad.
Very
to them.
Bad is, yeah.
Because I did
hard
that once.
Drives are melting.
I did that once not knowing. I just said, hey guys, you know, I'm having problems with blah, 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 blah. I have a blue screen that came up and, like, before I could even hit send, they were here.
They were out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's a good thing. They're on top of it.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll take a timeout and then we'll get Andy Kent on. We want some of your emails. So let us know what you think about the team now, and where is the area of concern? What position would you like to see addressed first on this team? We know that there are still several, as we've talked about it over the last couple of days, but what's the first priority for you? What would you like to see? Do you want to see one of these veteran players they brought in for workouts signed? Do you want to see them stay status quo? Do you want to see them give younger guys a chance? What? That's what I'm asking you. What do you want to see this team do? It's your team. You follow them. You're a fan. Let us know. And let's talk about it right here inside the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
That button's got to go on first. That's what happens when you switch inside your own studio. Patriots playbook rolling along here for a Wednesday. John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino.
Don't feel bad, John. Fred does that about once a show.
Forget to turn on the on button.
He does that all the time.
Got to put the microphone on. We are working our way to countdown to kickoff for the Patriots and the Miami Dolphins in the 2011 season opener at Sun Life Stadium in Miami next Monday. I know you'll be there, right?
Correct.
Okay. When are you leaving?
Sunday afternoon? On 9/11, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh. Good for you.
Have you watched any of the early coverage of the anniversary so far? I can't get enough of it. I can't not watch it.
Well, it was just the way it was 10 years ago, which is hard to believe. First of all, it's been 10 years, but, I was that way when it happened. I was glued to the television 36 hours. I didn't...
Actually, it covered it. Locally. I was at Channel 12.
12, yeah.
Newscast, I'll never forget.
Tough days. Tough days for everybody. All right, let's turn our attention now to the football game. Andy Kent, who covers the Dolphins for Dolphins.com, joined us here inside the playbook. Andy, John, and Eric here. Great to talk to you again. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Anything to get me out of the sun temporarily. I'm standing in the shade as it's about 100.
Poor thing. As it rains buckets on us up here,
raining
in 3 days.
Yeah, and 65 up here. How about that?
Well, you won't have to at least worry about the heat and humidity part because it's a night game. No more home field advantage right now.
Is it going to be sunny during the day on Monday? Because I have a beach that's going to be very close to our hotel that I'm going to be frequenting.
That's a good question. I haven't seen the weather forecast that far out yet.
All right. And,
you know, who knows with all these tropical systems floating around in the Atlantic.
All right, Andy, let's start it off then with, some of the obvious things here. For Patriots fans, from their perspective, how has this Dolphins team changed really beyond Reggie Bush being added to the mix?
Well, the biggest change is on offense with new offensive coordinator Brian Daboll and the whole new system that he's brought in. Tony Sperano had to kind of take a hard look at himself in the mirror this summer and realize that the old Parcells style of offense, ground and pound, is just not going to work anymore in this NFL, especially in this division. So if you watch them in the preseason, the whole offense has changed. They're throwing more on first down. They're spreading out, going four wide, sometimes five wide. And as Henny has described it, it's an attacking offense. And the biggest thing for Chad Henney's concern is they took the shackles off him, and he is in charge of the offense. He's allowed to audible the line of scrimmage. So you're not going to see as predictable as the Miami offense out there. Obviously, Reggie Bush is a big factor, but Brandon Marshall did a lot of hard work this offseason to get back to what he was like a couple of years ago. They added speed and Clyde Gates. So they're trying to basically keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, with a pass-first, attack-first type of offense.
That seems then to put a little bit more pressure on Henny, and I'm wondering how much pressure you think he's under from the gun.
Well, there's no doubt that if he's not under the most pressure of any quarterback in the NFL this year, it can't be too many ahead of him. Just because of everything that everybody knows about the last couple of seasons, how the offseason went, the fact that Tony Sperano almost was not here anymore. I mean, there's just so much riding on him for this first game. I think what helped him, ironically enough, is because of the lockout, he was thrust into the role of having to lead the offseason workouts. He had to basically take on that leadership role that any quarterback needs to take on and that he embraced this time around. And so he's probably more ready now to handle that pressure than had this just been a regular offseason.
I was going to ask you about Sperano, too, because the consensus for those of us outside of Miami and South Florida area was that he was going to get the axe after last season and that, you know, they were actively shopping John Harbaugh, according to reports. What's the sense of people down there? Are they disappointed that Sperano's back? Are they giving him the benefit of the doubt for one more year? What's your sense of that, Andy?
I'd say it's a good mix. I mean, obviously, when your team goes 1-7 at home, the home fans are not going to be happy with anything coming into this year other than dramatic change. Even though they did go 6-2 on the road, these people remember leaving Sun Life Stadium 7 out of 8 times angry. And so initially when they saw that everything was going to stay the same GM, same coach, and now the same quarterback, he got a lot of, what are we doing here? We're going to have a third straight 7-9 year. But I think as training camp and preseason went along and the fans got to kind of see the changes that Sperano was willing to make and the changes in the offense and the fact that they have a top six defense coming back that's probably even a little better than it was last year, they had them a little more excited about thinking, all right, you know what, let's give them this one more chance here. Let's see what Sperano and Henny can do with a different approach. And, they're on a short leash, that's for sure. I can't remember a season opening game for this franchise with more riding on it than this one on Monday night.
The addition of Reggie Bush certainly is an intriguing addition, if you will, over the offseason and bringing him in with whatever, off-the-field baggage he might have had. Does he make Chad Henne a better quarterback? Does his addition, make this ostensibly, you think, at least in the long-term view, a better offense?
Yes, I think it definitely does. I mean, because, when he needs to check down, if the pressure's coming and if Marshall and Bess and Hartline are covered, you're checking down to a guy who can still take a 3-yard pass or a screen pass and turn it into a 15, 20, 30-yard gain or a home run. all the way. So there's going to be some design plays that, whereas last year when he was checking down to Ronnie Brown or Ricky Williams, or even the fullback at the time was Taka Polite, it was out of, you know, last option. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a design way to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. And you know, when they go five wide, Reggie's going to be one of those five. So, I mean, he's just a dynamic-looking player and, you know, just brings a dynamic to this offense they haven't had, you know, that type of big playability.
Is it safe to say that the defense is the strength of this team, Andy? And if so, which area of the defense is its strength?
Definitely, without a doubt, the front seven. You know, you got Paul Soliai, who was just tagged with the franchise tag. He's considered now one of the top line elite nose tackles, at least with that potential to plug up the middle and create pressure. Kendall Langford has been kind of an underappreciated defensive end for the last 4 years. He's a very reliable pass rusher, and he can also stop the run. And then you got Randy Starks, the Pro Bowler, on the other side. And then they're so deep behind him with Jared Odrick, last year's first-round pick, and Philip Merling and Tony McDaniel. And then you get into the linebacker core, Cam Wake with 14 sacks last year, coming from one end. Koa Misi and Jason Taylor on the other side. I mean, yes, JT's 37, but he is the active sacks leader. He can still, in situations, create pressure on the quarterback. And then the two inside linebackers are pretty dynamic in Carlos Dansby and Kevin Burnett. They can cover wide receivers. They can get back to stop the run. They can blitz and put pressure on the quarterback. So that front seven is got to be among the top line front sevens in the league.
I know that Taylor's presence once again will make Matt Light very happy.
Yeah, no Channing Crowder.
Well, yeah, let's kind of, you know, go that route, because obviously you've got Kevin Burnett, I guess, taking over for Crowder in the middle. You know, and I guess defensively, and you guys wrote about this on the website earlier, but it seems to me that with the Dolphins having set a franchise record for fewest takeaways in a season last year, which was basically one per game, that seems to be a point of emphasis right now for this team.
Yeah, that definitely is. I mean, they've got the skill back there. Devontae Davis and Sean Smith, two developing and progressing young corners, veteran safety in Jeremiah Bell, a couple of young free safeties in Chris Clemons and Rashad Jones, Benny Sapp, the new kid, Jimmy Wilson. They're all, you know, good cover guys. They're hard hitters. The thing they're working on as I'm standing here right now and practice is winding up is catching balls from the jugs machine and trying to hold on to some of those interceptions, because that could have made a difference in at least three or four of those games last year.
Fair enough. What makes this team, potentially then, long-term view, what makes this team more competitive within the AFC East and a challenger for the Patriots and or the Jets?
I think it's the combination of the depth at defense and the fact that they, you know, again, top six last year, only got better this year, so they can keep the score down from the opposing side. They can get pressure on the quarterback. They can get the offensive ball in good field position. And the fact that you've got a whole new offensive mentality, more confidence in the quarterback, and some playmakers out there that can actually convert big plays and keep up. You know, if they have to be a high scoring game, I think they can match that style. And they can also play low scoring defensive style as well.
A matchup question for you, Andy. Who do you expect Vontae Davis to be covering predominantly Monday night?
He will be, they switched sides this year. He'll be on the right side, depending on how the Patriots line things up. They set it up where they want Sean Smith against more of the bigger wide receiver that he can match up with his height. So, you know, the two of them are kind of flip-flopping. I mean, Vontae is definitely the better cover guy and, you know, the hard hitter and the playmaker. So they want him on the number one receiver, but it just depends on what side of the field that guy is on.
Because, yeah, I think in my preview of the game, I think I had Smith going up against Ocho Cinco because of the height equivalence there, and Davis maybe trying to shut down Welker or Deion Branch.
Definitely.
So that makes
sense. Guys, they're taking me into the locker room right now.
Okay. Absolutely. Thanks for the time, Andy.
All right, I appreciate it. We'll
go
talk
for it.
To you soon.
You got it.
All right, we'll
it.
See
Thanks
you Monday
much.
Night.
Andy Kent, Dolphins.com. Yeah, they're getting ready to do their interviews.
They do theirs a little bit later.
A little bit later
do.
On than we do, so mm-hmm. There you go. All right, so a little bit of insight there. I, you know, to me, as I've kind of begun looking at the Dolphins, Eric, I'm wondering, wow, how is this team really different other than the fact that they added Reggie Bush? I mean, I know there's some different pieces to the puzzle defensively. I mentioned Burnett at linebacker. Cameron Wake, I thought, had an outstanding year last year for them. And he's a scary character, you know, on the defensive side. If you're not on him, he can certainly make you pay. But
they also have a new offensive line, a relatively new offensive line. They have a rookie center.
And that actually, I think, is not going to be a benefit for a guy like Chad Henne.
No, and especially if New England debuts Vince Wilfork and Albert Haynesworth in the middle.
Oh, my God, are you kidding me?
They have a new right tackle, Mark Colombo, who was with Dallas for many years.
And Boston College X.
Exactly. And their former right tackle, Vernon Carey, is now their right guard. So he's still, you know, a veteran to that team, but he's playing a different position.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the rookie center calling out all the shots. And I didn't think he was as good as his brother coming out of college, but he was drafted higher than his brother. So we'll see if the Dolphins made the right move there or not. But I think that's a weakness that New England should exploit, especially with their two big guys in the middle there. And all the depth and talent that we talked about earlier with the defensive line. If Miami's going to have a chance in this game, I think it's going to be on their strength, which is their defense, trying to keep the score as low as possible and give Chad Henne any chance.
Because I think the Patriots' defensive line has a definite advantage over the Dolphins' offensive line in this game. This is where I've begun to sort of like focus in on. I really want to watch this trench play on Monday night, because I think that's where, you know, let's find out. The Patriots have put a lot of emphasis on the defensive front, even from, you know, basically being a 3-4 to a 4-3 team now. And because of that, with the personnel that they've picked up, I expect better run coverage and a better run defense, and I expect the pocket to collapse. And if you're putting all that pressure on Henne, who's already got an inordinate amount of pressure on his shoulders to carry this team, all you need to do is put a little bit of pressure on him and hurry him up. And I think the Patriots have, you know, certainly more than enough to be able to get by and win the first one, even if it's on the road.
I do. I agree with that. And it's interesting you mentioned the trenches too, because since we're starting out the season, this week one coming up, I think this is a good time to remind people, when you watch a football game on television, at least, because in person it's different. You can see the whole field. You can see all 22. But on television, you're limited to where the quarterback is and who has the ball at all times.
Mm-hmm.
At the snap of the football, until the quarterback does something with the ball, you should be watching the trenches. You should be watching the center specifically, because what he does dictates what the play is going to be. If he snaps the ball and jogs back on his heels really quickly, you know it's pass protection. If he snaps the ball and fires off at his opponent, you know it's 9 times out of 10 going to be a running play.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the matchups that we have in this game that we just talked about, this is a perfect game to get used to that style of watching a game on television. Always start with the center, see what he's doing after he snaps the football, and watch what goes on in the interior of the line. Don't watch the guy with the ball. Don't watch the quarterback. Because you're not really going to get anything out of that. If you watch the line, you can see how the defense stunts, how they're getting pressure on the quarterback, if they get any, how the offensive line is protecting the quarterback, whether or not the fullback or the tight end is chipping in to help with blocking on double-teaming the other team's star defensive lineman or outside linebackers or whatever. That's where you should keep your focus if you're watching the game on television. Now, like I said, in person, different story.
Tough to do.
Yeah, it's tougher to do. And also you can see how the receivers' routes develop a lot better in person. But watching it on television, stay on the offensive line. I know it doesn't sound
glamorous,
all that glamorous, but that's your best way to watch a football game.
All right, some feedback starting to come in. Our question was, what area of the football team do you think now has got to be, you know, the point of emphasis, if you will, most urgent need in your estimation, considering the moves that have been made over the last couple of days here as this team tries to...
Do we have a consensus forming?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be interesting to see. But our good friend Derek from Arizona checks in. University of Arizona checks in. He goes, John, it's funny you asked this.
He hasn't flunked out yet?
No, I guess he's still doing it. He's still doing it. I know. He says, I wrote about the same subject on Pats Fans this morning. He obviously does a blog on PatsFans.com. I find it curious that a team who has had the type of success the Patriots have had in the recent years would have had so many new faces. They have 16 new players on their 53-man roster this season from last. that's, you know, and Derek's picking up on what I'm, this is the whole.
He's picking up what you're putting down, John.
He's picking up what I'm putting down here. We're on the same wavelength here, Derek, I think. On the other hand, I see, also see that Bill Belichick is collecting talent, continuing to rebuild on the fly, and trying to make up for some of the playoffs he missed on during the, players he missed on during the previous drafts. I think, NFL fans can expect this type of roster turnover, he says, from, where is it? From a team that has only won a handful of games the year before, but from a team that contends for a Super Bowl every year, definitely not standard procedure. However, I believe the team has added a talented group of players that will contribute to this team this season and for years to come. All right, interesting. Interesting point by Derek. And that's really kind of where I'm coming from here. I just felt like, and Derek points this out, 16 new players on the 53 as it currently stands today over last year. That's a pretty good amount of roster turnover.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, I mean, you know, everybody seems to think Green Bay is a good, you know, safe pick to repeat as Super Bowl champs, and why not? I mean, you know, they didn't make any changes, really, to speak of.
No.
They basically got everybody back. It's like last year was a team full of juniors, and now they got a team full of seniors. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so Green Bay, right, is, it's pretty tough to pick against them being back in the bowl, if not repeating.
And it's also what Vegas does. They take the most recent winner, and they're automatically, by default, usually more often than not,
right,
they're the favorite to go in. But in this case, I think they're right. I mean, you said it best. They're like a junior team that won the championship, and now they're full of seniors. They have more experience and a title, more confidence. Why not make them the, until somebody knocks them off, why not?
That's kind of what I think. So because of that, there is just a little bit of a, where'd that message go? It just came up here. All right. Golly.
I can see you clicking around on the screen too.
All right, here it goes. Here it goes. All right, it just came back up here. You know, the point that I'm trying to get to here is I'm trying to look at all these things flashing on in front of me on this stupid screen here. Now I'm getting cheerleader pictures. How did this come up? Andy's playing with this
nothing
thing.
Wrong with
Andy's
that.
Andy set this thing up here. All right. 16 players on a 53-man roster is a little bit more of a turnover, I think, than you would expect from a team that is generally considered a Super Bowl contender.
Mm-hmm.
The only point that I'm making here, which is why I brought up the initial question at the top of the program today. It may be much ado about nothing, especially since we're talking about role players, bit players, backup players for the most part,
mm-hmm,
in terms of some of these changes that and these moves that have been made on the roster over the course of, well, let's say the last 24 hours or so. Gerard Warren to me is a little bit more of a surprise today, but when you look back on it, I guess I can understand it from a veteran point of view. They wanted,
yep,
to make sure that they had the youth in place because they want to go forward with the youth, but they have a role in mind for Gerard. He apparently is happy with his role, and the fact is that he'll be easier for the Patriots to pick back up than a rookie who would have been cut loose.
Yeah, your rationale was spot on early in the show, I thought, because I was trying to figure out what the reasoning was for it, and the answer you gave was the best one I could think of.
You want to repeat that answer? I forgot what I said.
What did I say? The fact that he's a guy. Unbelievable. You don't even remember the own point you made. Oh, my God.
Well, if you give me a minute.
It's still week one for us, too.
I know. If you give me a minute, I'll come up with it.
No, but the fact that he's a guy that they didn't want to risk losing a younger player like,
yes,
Tarpinian.
Yes, correct. There you go.
Whereas a veteran guy like Warren, maybe he won't get as many offers from other teams, and maybe he's the kind of guy who says, you,
right,
know what, I know what I have here. I'd rather just play for New England. So if another team came calling, maybe he'd be more likely to say, no thanks, I'll wait. Maybe there's already an unwritten agreement, unspoken between him and the organization that he's going to come back. Certainly by the way Bill Belichick answered today,
right,
that specific question, it sounds like we'll see Gerard Warren again before the season is out.
Wouldn't even surprise me to see him come in after the first week.
Yeah.
Maybe a week or two later,
yeah, right,
but he will be back, I do believe. You know, I'd be willing to, I'm not a gambling man,
mm-hmm,
but I'd be willing to put a couple of shekels on this one. Derek, by the way, sends this message via Facebook. He says, John, here's the list of the new players.
Mm-hmm.
You got Ryan Mallett,
yep,
Ross Idaling,
yep,
Stephen Ridley,
yep,
Antoine Molden,
mm-hmm,
Shane Vereen, James Ahedibo, Danny Aiken, Brian Waters, A.J. Eads, Jeff Tarpinian, that's 10,
mm-hmm,
Solder, 11, Ocho Cinco, 12, Haynesworth, 13, Carter, 14, Ellis, 15, Anderson, 16.
The
good job out of you.
The majority of those guys are rookies and or first-year players.
Correct. So you've got in some veterans, but you've also brought in some youth. Now, I talked about this in yesterday's inaugural edition, where the team right now, as it stood, as of the initial 53-man roster, averaged 27.1 years per man age, which has them tied as the ninth oldest roster in the NFL. That's still an improvement, a steady improvement from where they've been the last 2 years. 2 years ago, they were the second oldest, I believe. Last year, I believe they were tied for third oldest. And I don't know, bringing in these new guys and these the last moves that have been made over the last 24 hours, how much that changes it, but they're right around eighth or ninth. So they're going in a positive direction. This is not one you want to be ranked number one in the NFL in. You want to have some youth. You want to have the proper mix of youth with experience, and the Patriots are apparently working to that end. So while, you know, you can say what you want to about, you know, Sean Ellis and Andre Carter in particular defensively, a couple of guys that are a little long in the tooth, and even a guy like on the offensive line, Brian Waters, who's an 11-year pro, okay, for every Waters and Carter and Haynesworth you're bringing in, you've got Mallett, you've got Dowling, you've got Ridley, you know, you got Vereen, you got Solder, you know, so there is some youth at Tarpinian, there's some youth there. So hopefully it's balancing out a little bit and not lowering the collective age of this team. 2 years ago, Eric, we were talking about this. Last year we talked about this. This year we're going to talk about it again. This team still needs to get younger, but they're getting younger with an eye toward winning this year because they recognize the key veterans they have in place are not going to be here for too much longer. And it all starts with TB, you know, QB1 right at the top.
Yeah. And a lot of those guys who were brought in this year, those older guys are probably only going to be here this year.
Yeah. You know, Albert Haynesworth potentially, you know, I mean, he could be around number one, but I mean, we're talking about guys that may only be here this year.
Yeah.
So
next year at the latest, probably.
This is, again, adding to my whole theory that, you know, before the season began, there was a carpe diem attitude here at Gillette Stadium, and I think we're seeing that begin to unfold a little bit more so here as we approach the regular season. So, at any rate, Derek Havitz, good job out of you, buddy. Thanks, Derek in Arizona, for sending off his info. You can catch his blogs on PatsFans.com as well. Does a good job with that. He's a diehard, not only Patriots fan, but follower. Let's just put it that way. It's got some good stuff. We had him in studio one time.
He literally stepped inside the playbook.
Right, he stepped inside the playbook.
That's right.
Derek, I hope you're planning when you come back for, you know, the holidays, since, you know, you're a Massachusetts guy out at the University of Arizona. I'm assuming this is his, is this his senior year?
I don't know. I think he might be in college. This might be his seventh or eighth year in college. I don't know. He's been there for a long time.
Kind of like John Belushi. 7 years of college down the drain.
I take shots because I owe him plenty. He's taken so many at me in the offseason that were unwarranted. He knows that he's due for a few. So
let's get Joshua's post here. It sends via Facebook. He says, John, I do not believe the secondary will be an issue as long as we have a pass rush.
Yeah, it's a big if.
If there is consistent pressure on the QB, then we'll be fine. I believe Coach Belichick is finished with the, quote, rebuilding stage and moving to, quote, win now mode just by all the new veteran additions to the team. I hate to say it, but Golden Boy, talking about Brady, is not getting any younger, so every season here on counts. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of seeing the Pats have an outstanding regular season and then act like they've never been to the playoffs before. I'd rather see the Pats have a 10-6 season than go all the way through the playoffs to make it to Indy and win a fourth Lombardi.
The bottom line is the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter how they get there, as long as they get there and win it, that's all people care about. Doesn't matter if they go 16-0 again. Doesn't matter if they go 10-6, 9-7, slip in at 8-8 as a wild card. If they can get themselves to the Super Bowl and win it, all will be forgiven.
Mike sends via Facebook. He says, John, what are your thoughts on the cornerback positions on the team? I'm a little concerned about Lee Bodden. Due to he missed all of last season and no information has come out on his current injury, is the fact that they released Butler a sign they're not at all too concerned about the injury? What do you think?
Well, he's been practicing so far this week, which is a great sign, because I was really fearful that we were seeing a repeat of last season where he got injured early in camp. We didn't see him all camp. Everyone was like, oh, don't worry, we'll see him in the regular season. And all of a sudden on cutdown weekend, he gets put on IR. It started to look like shades of last year again this year, but then he came out for practice Monday on Labor Day, and he was out there again today. So maybe he's fine. And if so, it'll be great to see the guy who was your solid right corner in 09 matched up with McCourty, who's coming off a great rookie season. If you can have some stability there, I think Kyle Arrington is a very capable slot corner. I think that's probably where he's probably best suited.
I think we learned that last year.
Yep. And if you can get Rozai Dowling some reps here and there to get him used to the system, I don't know what we're getting out of this. Antoine Molden. But if you can keep Bodden healthy and if McCourty can have can continue the development that he showed last year, I'll be okay with that.
What are your thoughts? I've heard a couple of people talk about possibly Dowling because of his size, maybe also getting some time in safety.
Only in a pinch, John. I really don't want to see him playing safety. He's tall, but he's very thin. He's kind of moss-like thin. He's not like Josh Barrett, who's very tall and a thicker player like Rodney Harrison was. I'd rather they work in some of these bigger corners because, you know, Bodden is 6'1", McCourty is like 5'10". Their corners are getting bigger. They used to have Smurfs at their corners all the time. Everyone was 5'9 or 5'7". Now they're getting bigger to match up with a lot of these bigger receivers around the league, like Brandon Marshall, who we're going to see this week. So I'd rather you develop Dowling as a cornerback strictly and find some other safeties who can play either strong or free to add versatility to your backfield. And maybe we'll get that in Barrett. Maybe the James Ahedebo, who was mostly a special teamer with the Jets,
right.
Maybe he can do it. We just don't know. We haven't seen enough of these guys yet.
Yeah, I guess that's part of my problem. That's what Mike in Pensacola said here. He said, your initial impressions of Josh Barrett and Rozai Dowling.
We don't have enough time yet.
We really need a little more time to differentiate, but I think you gave a good comparison. You know, Barrett's a little taller, thicker guy. Dowling's a little thinner guy, but they both being a little taller in size, they're sort of going with the trend of trying to get bigger in the backfield because of the bigger receivers that are out there, which I definitely think has been long overdue. And I think that was one of the things that also, you know, hurt a guy like Darius Butler a little bit. You know as well as I do that, you know, hey, I was never a Darius Butler fan.
And he was short. Not only was he a shorter corner, he was a thin corner.
Yeah.
He was short and
short
thin. He was not much bigger than me, John.
He was. I don't think Darius Butler's a bad athlete. Obviously,
no, not at all.
He had a great collegiate career.
Yeah.
I don't think this was the team for him. I think it just was not a fit. Now, maybe Carolina will be a fit because they had a need at corner. So my guess is he's going to get some playing time right away.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him if that's what happens.
He didn't really seem to get a fair shake as a kick returner. It didn't seem like he got enough reps to prove himself.
No, I don't think he did.
And he did that at UConn.
Yeah.
To some extent. And I would have thought maybe they would have tried to work him in that way initially, but apparently not, and maybe you're right. Maybe he just wasn't a fit for this team.
Derek says, I'm a junior, John.
God, he's still
got time? He said it's because he switched from business to journalism last year.
So he is a sixth-year junior.
Oh, you're going from business to journalism?
No,
oh, you are a sap. Don't do that, Derek.
Derek, seriously, I think I told
don't
him this
do
when
that.
He was here. Major in English.
Yes.
And history.
Yes. English and history. If you do
major
that,
the language and still, put it in context.
You can still do the journalism thing with
absolutely.
That, but you can also turn it around and do something else with
right.
it.
Right. Get internships like crazy in journalism.
Yeah. Right.
But major in English, minor in history, do something like that.
You
don't
could also
go
teach
into
that
journalism.
Way, you know? You could also be a teacher that way.
You could.
Yeah. It says, tell Eric he knows I love him.
Yes, I know. We kid because we care, right?
Yes, we do.
As Chris, what was his name? Used to be on ESPN. He used to do that up close show. Chris Myers.
Oh, Chris Myers.
Chris Myers always used to say, "Oh, we kid because we care."
We kid because we care.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
And I leave because I care. I have
yes,
to
I know.
Go now.
You got to go. You got to write.
Yeah. Unfortunately, right. I like rapping with you though.
You coming back tomorrow?
Be back tomorrow. Yeah. Typical. Right. We're back to our old routine Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Okay. Opening hours is Eric Scalabrino from Patriots Football Weekly would generally be in the playbook on Wednesdays and Thursdays in our 2 o'clock hour on those shows, and we welcome his contributions. All right, we'll pause for a timeout. Going to come back with your emails again. webradio@patriots.com is how you reach the show. As we broadcast live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Inside the playbook.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the Pats are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !!! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Thank you, Steve. John Rook here. Hour number two of Patriots Playbook for Wednesday, week number one of the NFL season. Pats, Dolphins, Monday night, Sun Life Stadium, Miami, Florida. That's what we're working toward here. You can join us on the program, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398 is how you connect with the show. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. Get us on Facebook and Twitter. All right. Here comes one from Facebook. Andrew says, "I must say I turned you off yesterday when you called Merriweather a good player. Merriweather is the Lawrence Maroney of the secondary, a guy who shows talent but not improvement. And as a college guy, I expected more of you than to try to prove your point by pointing to awards, which are voted on by the general public. Pro Bowls." Well, that's not entirely accurate, Andrew, but okay. I'll let you finish your argument here. Good football players don't tackle their teammates. Also, forget the age of roster topic. It's the biggest glurge topic, whatever the hell that is, there is. Whenever a bad journalist doesn't have anything to write about, they post something about roster age, talent, and coaching wins championships, not age. Well, Andrew, okay, you're entitled to your opinion, but I would say, well, all right, if he's not a good player, then why does Chicago snap him up? Why is he even? Why, if he's not a good player, then why does he even have a job? You're telling me that the Chicago Bears can't evaluate talent? That the Chicago Bears don't know what they're doing? The University of Miami doesn't turn out good football players? I mean, because if you're saying Merriweather's no good, then that's really what, that's the other thing that you're saying here. So, you know, good is a relative term. I said he was good. He's not what the Patriots need at this point in time of their developing this roster. They're looking for something else in the secondary. This team is probably going to go with more man principles in the secondary. And because they're going to go with more man principles, they don't feel that a guy like Merriweather is an appropriate, well, not even appropriate, fit. So that's really where we're coming from. Good is a relative term. He was a good player. He was a good player for the Patriots when he was here. Did he make some mistakes? Yeah. Does every player make some mistakes? Yes, they do. Does Tom Brady make mistakes? Yes, he does. Now, I'm not going to compare Merriweather to Brady directly because there's any comparison. But all I'm saying is good is a relative term. He was a good player. He doesn't fit their needs right now. They're looking for something different. They want somebody, I guess, that they can depend on to do what they want them to do in the secondary more than they felt like Merriweather could give them at this point in time. Hopefully that makes sense to you. As far as the age of roster topic, I don't understand what you're talking about. It's very relevant. Old players wear out quicker. Old players get injured faster. And when you have an old roster like this team had 2 years ago, you're not going to be successful. We've all known, every Patriots fan has known, that this team has to get younger. And all we're doing is pointing out that it seems to be that they're progressing that direction. That's all. They're still one of the older, they're still in the top quarter of the league in age. They still could, you know, if they really need to be somewhere in the middle of the pack. That would be ideal. They don't want to be too young or they don't want to be too old. I would say 16th would be a great spot for them to be. And they got a little ways to go before they get there. That's all we're talking about here, brother. Okay? So, you know, it's fine to disagree with me. It's okay. But I think you're not understanding my argument here at all. Couple of things that we're going to do for you in this hour. We're going to continue taking your emails and your Facebook topic questions as well. You can jump on board on the Facebook page. John Rook is how you find me on Facebook. Submit the friend request if you have not done so. And we'll reply to that. And then you can post your questions on the Facebook page, or you can do the Facebook chat, and we'll answer them that way, as we've done a couple of times already today, as well as the regular email address, webradio@patriots.com. Our question is, what is the immediate area of need for this team? Now that we've seen, especially the latest roster moves that have been made over the last 24 hours or so, you've signed A.J. Eads away from Miami. You've signed tight end Dan Gronkowski, who was cut by Denver, Rob Gronkowski's brother, did play in a similar offensive system under Josh McDaniels at Denver, so there is some familiarity there, which is one of the reasons why I think they decided to sign, you know, Gronk number two at tight end. And, of course, the official release of Darius Butler, who was signed, or at least he was reported to be signing with Carolina yesterday, and today's release of Gerard Warren. So there is some roster fluctuation going on with his team. And because of that, what area now are you most concerned with as we head into the Monday night opener against Miami? Right now, we've got a slight lead, slight edge, it seems, for the secondary. Something that Eric and I have talked about today. A few Facebookers and emailers have also talked about. Still want to get your comments on what area of concern do you have and why. Right now, though, we want to get you inside the Patriots locker room, as we promised today. Up first, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, who's going to talk a little about his brother Dan Gronkowski.
So at least your brother has an immediate place to stay. Is that, would that be accurate? Or is he allowed in your house?
I mean, they put up guys always on the whole town stuff, but I mean, showing it around, he can obviously stay at my place for a little until he gets settled and everything. So, he's good to go.
Yeah.
What's the scouting report on him? Give us a scouting report.
Scouting report on him?
Yep.
I mean, he's just a hard worker. He's wherever he is, I know. He's just always working hard in the weight room, on the field, off the field, studying. And just, I know coming into here, I know he's just going to be a hard worker, trying to get down all the plays right away and going to focus on his job.
What was your reaction initially when you heard he was coming here?
I mean, yeah, you get excited, definitely. I mean, as a family member, you're great to have, grateful to have our brothers in the league, but then when it comes down to it, you get a brother on the same team. I mean, that's awesome. It was already a dream come true that he was in the NFL at the same time, but having him on your team, it's awesome to have someone there. A lot of more support, a lot more like intensity we can bring out with each other because we know each other like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
How excited do you think he is for this opportunity?
He's definitely excited. I mean, let's say excited as me. We love having each other on the team, love pushing each other in the weight room, on the field, off the field, and everything. So it's going to be cool.
Help your mom out a little bit
with her travel plans?
What's that?
Help your mom out a little bit with her travel plans, maybe?
I would say so. I'd say it would definitely help out my parents.
Did you kind of give them a 101 of how it goes around here, so to speak?
I think he's been here for a couple hours now, so I think he's got that down.
You have an empty locker next to you. Any idea why he's not right there?
Did they have to separate you?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, they just go by numbers around here in the locker room, so that's where they put them. So I'm not really sure.
Did you have to be separated as kids?
Growing up, definitely. I mean, there was always brawls around going in the house, but I mean, that was definitely growing up. It was a lot of fun.
So you're the younger brother. Who's tougher?
We'll see. Because I never played with him before, so we'll see.
Is it almost, is there even time for you guys to enjoy the idea that you guys are teammates, or is it, you know, he comes in this kind of timing, he's got to get right down to business?
Yes, that's actually a good point. I mean, we're just here this is definitely business, just here focusing on our job, and we just focus on Miami. And I mean, he just came in yesterday, so got to catch up on everything. We just got to get going, get all the plays down, get the playbook going, and just focus on Miami. We got really no time to be like to interact as brothers right now because we're both just focusing on the job of getting it done. And it's kind of it just feels like another player, kind of like right now because he's just working. We're just working hard to get down the plays.
Right, starting to feel the intensity kind of ramping up here as we get set for week one of the regular season now?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you're always intense when it comes down to regular season games, especially the first game. Everyone's excited. I'm definitely excited. I'm fired up, ready. I'm going to definitely be fired up when it comes down to the game time.
Did you follow his lead since he was the older brother with football, or is it just football, which is kind of natural to the Gronkowski brothers?
I mean, definitely follow my older brothers. He's always older than me, and I always play with this one that's just 2 years older than me, so I always follow him a lot more because I always play with him and stuff in high school and stuff and in college. So definitely follow him, though, too, his whole career and everything, and definitely it's a blessing to have him on the same team.
Rob, just for accuracy issues, he is crashing at your place for a while?
Maybe. maybe.
Why would that be a
secret? It just is.
When's the last time you guys played in a game together?
Ever? We never have played together in any sport besides
each other.
Besides backyard baseball and stuff.
All right, that's Rob Gronkowski. So I find it kind of strange that they've never played together before. This is actually a first. You'd think that somewhere in the history books of peewee football that they would have possibly played on the same team before, but they haven't done that. So interesting. But so there you have Gronk from in the locker room talking about his brother Dan, who is now going to be ostensibly backing him up at tight end, along with Aaron Hernandez, as far as the Patriots are concerned here as we head into week number one. Tom Brady and his comments from Gillette Stadium earlier today coming up very shortly. If we have time, we'll also hear from Bill Belichick here before the program completes its course today. And Pete Shepard comes up at 4 o'clock Eastern. Let's get back to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com. And again, trying to get your thoughts on where you feel like this team really needs to focus on now. What is the area of emphasis? What's the point of concern for you? What do they need to attack first? What part of the team? Yesterday we talked about three areas of focus that you should be concerned with, that you should be paying attention to right now at the outset of the 2011 season. Offensive line, certainly. Tight ends, which I think they've probably taken care of at least for the time being. And the secondary. And the secondary certainly seems like, you know, to me, that's an area of concern. That's an area of concern. Still an area of concern. Alejandro. John, nice to hear you on the playbook again. I will be listening faithfully, as will the rest of the ever-growing Rook Nation. Thank you, Alejandro. Unlike the Big 12, we're not going anywhere. By the way, all right, now that you brought that up, have you seen today the news? And I will digress into some college stuff because many of you know that have followed me over the last few years. I do a lot of college football and college basketball play-by-play as well. But have you seen Baylor threatening Texas A&M with a lawsuit for leaving the Big 12? And I got to admit, I'm applauding Baylor, and not because I'm a Longhorn, because, you know, the Aggies are a rival, or maybe now a former rival, because Baylor stands to lose more than anybody else in this whole intercollegiate Armageddon that's getting ready to happen. And they've got no place to go. So what they're doing now is threatening to, they're suing for their survival. So how can you possibly blame Baylor unless you're a Texas Aggie yourself? You can't blame Baylor. They're looking out for themselves. They're not doing it because of Texas. They're not doing it because of Oklahoma. They're not doing it because of Texas Tech. They're doing it for Baylor. Frankly, I'm surprised that somebody else hasn't stood up to do this, that somebody else doesn't have the cojones to do what Baylor's doing. I applaud Baylor for standing up for principle for once, that all of this conference, you know, expansion is got to stop. It's lunacy. It's short-term gain and going to be very long-term pain, in my estimation. The only way to really do this, if you really want to get big, the only way to do it is to go to 20. You have 2-10-team divisions, and then you have a playoff. That's it. The Big East could end up doing that, by the way, because if the Big 12 does implode, you heard it here first. Kansas State, and Missouri are going to go to the Big East, okay? Gonna happen. They've already had discussions. Gonna happen. And when they do, added to TCU, who's already in, that puts the Big East at 20 basketball schools. 20. That also gives them 12 football schools. So if you really want to solidify the Big East, the Big 12 will implode. Because then you're going to have enough teams football-wise for a conference championship, and then you play 2 10-team divisions, where you play everybody in your division home and home, and then the two division champs meet for the conference title in basketball. It's that simple. It's that simple. So if you really want to go big, you're going to have to go a little bit bigger than 16. The 16 number has never made sense to me, whether it's the Pac-10, Pac-12, Pac-16, Big 10, Big 12, Big 16, SEC. What? It 16 schools doesn't work. You're fine at 12. If you're going to go bigger than 12, you really need to go to 20. There are not enough schools, not enough quality schools to go around for that. This is going to flop, fail miserably. And the only league that's in position to capitalize is the Big East, because they're already at 17. Food for thought. All right, you got me off on that one, Alejandro, because you mentioned the Big 12. All right, he says, I'm ready to start picking some nits on Tuesdays, make some predictions on Thursdays, and listen to Russell Baxter's opinions. Yes, and Russell will be joining us on Thursdays again. Russell, by the way, just so you know, and we'll mention this again tomorrow, Russell is no longer employed by ESPN. I really don't know what happened. I think it's partly he was ready to go a different direction, to do some things on his own. He started his own football websites, and he's going to tell us all about them tomorrow. You can follow him on Twitter and all kinds of stuff. We're going to give you, but he's still churning out the same stuff that he's always churned out. And I'm very proud to have him back inside the playbook again this year, because Russell's been a part of the playbook for all 11 years that we've been doing the show, or 10 years previous to this that we've been doing the show. And he's invaluable on Thursdays as we take a look around the league. We preview games, and he gives you basically the numbers inside the story. He gives you more than just stats. He gives you stats that have meaning, that lead you to conclusions. Guy does a lot of great stuff. Anyway, Russell will join us again. And Alejandro's question. My question, John, is what is this team's weakest link? I think the Pats will win the division, but what is the one weakness that can hurt this team in the playoffs? So long, John. Keep up the good work. All my best to you and your family. Thank you, Alejandro. Great to have you back. Weakest link. Well, I think the weakest link now is probably going to be something different as you get ready to prepare for the playoffs when we're talking December in another, 3 months or so from now. Right now, I think the weakest link is still the secondary. To me, that's my major area of concern. I don't like the fact that they gave up on both Sanders and Merriweather like they did. Clearly, they've got to feel confident in what they still have back there, and that if they need somebody in a pinch, the guys that they've already worked out, whether or not you think Sharper is an option somewhere on down the line or whatever, they obviously feel confident that someone could come fill in a pinch if they get in trouble. All right, you know what? Hey, they know better than all of us, so I guess we have to give them the benefit of the doubt there. But when you add that to, Bodden's injury, Bodden is back now, but as we talked about, he'd been, dinged up certainly over the course of the preseason, not to mention missing all of last year. I just think there's too many question marks in the secondary to be relatively confident in their ability, to be ready for the long haul. And as we all know, 16 weeks is a long haul. 17, I should say, counting the bye week. It's a grind, man. It is a big-time marathon in football. That's a grind. I don't think that they're set. I think that, what you see in the secondary now is not, and we are recording this, okay, it is not going to be the secondary you see at the end of the year. There's going to be some turnover. The smallest amount of turnover, the better, but there's going to be some turnover. And that has me concerned. So I'd have to say, I'd have to start with the secondary being the biggest, weakest link. After that, it's kind of a crapshoot. I think that they've made moves toward, solidifying the offensive line by bringing in Waters from Kansas City. But again, here's a guy that's a little long in the tooth. I know he's a pro. He's a Pro Bowl player. But when you trade, 11-year, you run off a 23-year-old for someone who's, 33, well, that's a little bit of a concern. I'm talking about Steve Mannieri in particular. Not that I think Mannieri deserves to be there or that he's a better player. But, unless Waters starts, and he may very well start on Monday, I admit that. He may very well start. But unless we know he's going to start, I question the move, because you're talking about, exchanging someone who's younger for an older player in largely a backup role. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But perhaps, if Waters does work his way into the lineup, and Bill Belichick has alluded that that could happen, and even Waters has alluded that that could happen when we heard from him yesterday, okay, all right, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. But I have to say that I'm a little concerned over the depth overall on the offensive line. I'm also a little bit concerned, Alejandro, over the wide receiving core. And the reason is because until we actually see Chad Ochocinco get on the same page in sync with Tom Brady out there, there's going to be some doubt. I think we're all waiting to see that. I don't have any concerns with Deion Branch. I don't have any concerns with Wes Welker or Julian Edelman or really, Taylor Price or anybody like that. I don't have any concerns. I have some concerns over Ocho. I have some concerns over it being out there that, Randy Moss says the Patriots is the only team he would come back to. Well, all right, that's great, Randy. That really shouldn't be news, should it? See, I don't think so. I don't think it should be news. I think we all kind of known that Randy regrets doing what he did a year ago and that Randy regrets talking his way out for potential playing time somewhere else. He regrets it. He made a mistake. And he didn't really want to go through the hassle anymore unless, of course, he could come back and play here. I think we all get that. Why is this news? We know Tom Brady likes him. Why is this news? If the Patriots find themselves in an injury situation, I said this yesterday, I'll say it today. Don't be surprised if Randy Moss comes back. But only in an injury situation. if they decide that Chad Ochocinco after 3 or 4 weeks isn't going to work out, you might also see it there. You might. But we're talking about something that is not going to happen for weeks yet. Weeks. But I still think it could be an area of concern. All right, here we go. This one comes from Valmik, who says, John, Eric, Kevin, the top priority of concern is the secondary. I don't think we need any changes to the roster besides maybe a look at a veteran safety to help ensure that the position up and helps us mentor them into a position to be successful. I don't think signing someone like Darren Sharper is the key to winning, as I'm sure his health is a serious concern. But to bring in a proven veteran to serve as a coach-type player, similar to how Kevin Falk might be, helping the young rookie backs mature? Okay, I'll buy that. He says, my thought was that this year we run into a lot of three-cornerback, one-safety sets. With Ross Eye as the third cornerback, this could work well, as he's seen as the more physical corner with size and athleticism. Could this work better than running the field with two safeties when we're unsure about the production of our number two? That's an interesting point. Sergio and Josh might be very viable replacements to Brandon, but we could be in a sticky situation if they don't produce immediately with us testing our new defensive line and linebacking defense. He says, by the way, my birthday is the same day as yours. Very cool. All right, Valmik. Thank you. Thank you for the email. Good email. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't really thought of that until you brought it up. Could we see more three cornerback, one safety sets? Yeah, I think we could. And I think this is where I was kind of going with, believe it or not, when I mentioned to Eric in the opening hour of the program, talking about could Dowling eventually or potentially even play safety because he's got a little more size to him. Without moving him to safety, he could end up being a safety, as you said, as a third corner. A little more size, a little more athleticism. It really depends on what the other team's throwing at you offensively. If they're throwing something at you offensively where you've got to have more man coverage, which we've already known the Patriots are going to try to do this year, then you could actually see some of those sets with three corners in there. There's no question about it. I think it's an excellent point, Valmik. So that's a good job out of you. Next, Gene in Daytona. I'm glad the team is trying to improve itself. I would rather have change than stagnation. Bill is giving the team notice he is not settling for complacency. Maybe some teams are getting comfortable, but this year, BB is not standing for it, especially since this season is being dedicated to Myra Kraft. I can guarantee you one thing, no one's job is safe this year, and you will see a resolve from the Patriots like we have not ever seen before. I would just say hang on for the ride. Okay, Gene. I don't disagree with that either. Carpe diem, right? And I think that's really what this team has been in for. Sean says, John, I'm concerned just because of the defensive backfield. Too little time for any rhythm to develop. What if someone goes down? I have this bad vision of Henny attacking the middle of the field for 10-yard chunks of yardage at a time. I was hoping for a blowout in Miami. Now I'm not too sure. Sean, I absolutely agree with you. I think you're dead on. What I'm seeing is because the Dolphins are willing to open it up a little bit more. They've got the threat of Reggie now coming out of the backfield a little bit more. I think the Patriots will probably end up getting somebody like a Dane Fletcher to shadow Reggie Bush, which could, in theory, leave gaps open in the middle of the field 8 to 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage. I think we're getting on the same page here. So unless the Patriots figure out a way to keep Miami from attacking the middle of the field, I fully expect that's what they're going to do. They're not going to try to run at the Patriots. They're going to try to go over the top, and they're going to try to drop in front of. They can use a guy like Marshall to stretch him a little bit, and they're going to be going to that 8 and 10-yard type of route with tight end, with the other guys that they have going through there. And they're going to swing things out of the backfield as best they can. I think that's going to be an interesting unfolding of the game plan come up on Monday night. That's going to be interesting. Defensive backfield is going to have to be on its toes. I think you'll see the Patriots make lots of moves. I think you'll see the Patriots make lots of substitutions. I think you'll see everybody get a shot. Everybody get a shot. Patriots need to find out quickly where they are in that secondary, and that's why it ranks at the top of my list of concerns right now. A timeout to take. Tom Brady's coming up. We continue with your emails, webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Hit us on Facebook, Inside the Playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
This is Patriots defensive end Sean Ellis. Welcome back to Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Thanks, Sean. Here we go. All right. Got a couple of other comments for you on Facebook. Gustavo says, John, I have to say that I'm a little concerned about the O-line. It was very praised last year, but it seems to have a few changes, and now it's too thin. And also, Vollmer didn't practice. What's going on? Well, Vollmer got a couple of dings. Eric mentioned that earlier in our practice report today. So, yeah, there's a depth issue. If Vollmer, by some chance, doesn't go, well, then obviously Nate Solder does go. But then you're very thin because you don't really have any tackles to back up. And yes, that is one of my points of contention and one of my concerns as well. I don't know that it overall outweighs my concern in the secondary. But yes, offensive line has got to be a concern in terms of the overall depth right now. It's taking shape. There's talent there, but you've got six guys. Well, five guys, really. Two tackles, two guards, and a center. But six, seven now. Seven guys usually are eligible. Actually, more than six. Seven are usually eligible on a game-in and game-out basis. That's who usually they activate in the offensive line. And right now, you don't have much more than that. You're very thin at tackle. Very thin at tackle. That could be a concern. Derek also says, I think Belichick would like to bring Randy Moss back, but knows he cannot. He quit on this team last year. I think even though BB likes him, he doesn't want to send a bad message to the other players on the Pats roster. Maybe I'm reading too much into this situation, but I don't believe I'm too far off from the truth. You know, that's an interesting point. We know that Belichick loves to send messages. We know that he's made examples of players in order to send messages. Read into that Brandon Merriweather in the past. Read into that Lawyer Malloy. I mean, yeah, every year it seems like somebody that's cut that you say, wow, I'm surprised at that one. But it happens kind of for a reason. He doesn't want anyone getting complacent, and he wants players to know, you do it our way. You do the things that we ask you to do. You have a chance to be successful. We as a team will be successful. You keep your job. You maybe make more money. But if you're not quite as willing to do what we need you to do, then we're going to find another place for you. And I think that's ultimately what happened with Merriweather. I really believe that. And that may end up being why they don't bring a guy like Moss back. But again, Derek, it's going to come down to, is there a need? And if there's a need, I think winning outweighs everything. And if they need someone to step in because there's been an injury, knowing that Randy does know the system, knowing that, you know, he's crying for a second chance, and that it's going to be short term, only signing him at the end of the year, and they, as we've already talked about, have this carpe diem attitude here where they're seizing the day, that they know that they want to win now, I think in that instance, because they do want to win and they've already demonstrated that they want to win, that they would bring a guy like Moss back. We'll just have to kind of agree to disagree on that one, but I really believe that to be the case. I think that's the kind of the larger issue here. All right, let me get a couple of others here. I got one more, and then we're going to get to Tom Brady. This one comes from Steve. And the message is taking a long time to load up, Steve. Let's see if it will load up here. For some reason or other, it's just not coming through. I think I've got one more here that I can get to. Gina Daytona. My question would have been to Rob. Heard from Rob Gronkowski earlier from the locker room. He says, who wins most of the living room wrestling matches? Wow. Not sure I know the answer to that. They all got pretty good size, but I will tell you this. I would want to make sure that at least there is some insurance on the furniture and the collectibles, right? Because you don't have that, you could definitely be in trouble. That's a wow. Think about that. All those guys growing up. Can you imagine what the food bill must have been for the Gronkowski parents? Oh, my goodness. That must have been extraordinarily extravagant. All right, Steve's email here. He sent via Facebook. He says, John, glad to hear you on Patriots Radio again. I was curious what you thought about Haynesworth and Will Fork against the Wildcat. I have a feeling this tag team could shut down any attempt Miami has to use the Wildcat. They couldn't run it up the middle. Because the Wildcat is an improvisational play, I think our defensive ends could come around and stop the run, forcing a pass by somebody other than Henny. Interesting, Steve. You know, I guess really because they've got a new offensive coordinator. Obviously, Brian Daboll is a guy that the Patriots are familiar with because he was here for a while. I don't know that we're going to see the Wildcat from Miami. We might, but I'm not. I mean, you know, Ronnie Brown isn't around anymore to do that. So why would we even see the Wildcat? Miami may be ready to junk it. Maybe they kept some of it in the playbook. I don't know. I'm not sure that anybody can really sufficiently answer that. I didn't see anything. I didn't see Miami do anything during the preseason, so I didn't watch any of their games. So I honestly don't know that I can give you an accurate assessment of that one. against the Wildcat, you'd have to pretty much stay base. You don't really want to go for any of the ball fakes on a direct snap to a running back in the backfield. Stay at home. Stay in your lanes. Keep your assignments in front of you. If you do that, you generally can defend it. So even on a direct snap situation, I don't think that changes what Haynesworth and Wilfork would be doing. They're trying to bust up the middle. They're trying to collapse the backfield. So if they can do that, generally what they're doing is they're forcing the running back to run right into the waiting arms, in theory, of an Andre Carter or a Sean Ellis. So I would think that they would be fine against the Wildcat. I'm sure they're preparing for it this week in practice. Miami probably still has it in their playbook and their arsenal, but to what extent, I don't know. I mean, some of the personnel that they've used in the past to run that is no longer with the team. So because of that, don't know that we can give you a completely accurate look on that one. But a very good question. Thought-provoking. We'll watch it on Sunday. All right, before we get done here and before Pete Shepard comes around, let's get back into the locker room and let's hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady from here at Gillette earlier today.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Ready?
What do you think of playing in Miami? Do you think of the wins, or do you think of the losses? Anything 4-5 down there?
Well, it's always a tough place to play. So we've had our struggles down there. We've had some great wins, but now we played them at the beginning of the year, the end of the year, and it always seems to be a tough place to play. So it's a division rival, and I think they put a lot into the game. We put a lot into the game, and it's going to be fun. It's a fun way to start the year.
How ready are you for the season to start?
As ready as I could possibly be. I think everyone's put a lot of work in over the last 6 weeks to get to this point. And we've moved on from the preseason, and I think that getting here for a regular season week has been a lot of fun for the guys. It's certainly a different urgency in the air. The guys are excited, to watch, a lot of film on these guys, to have a pretty good understanding of what they do well and the things that we're going to try to take advantage of. It's good.
Devontae Davis said that he and Smith are the best pair of corners in the National Football League. You watch a lot of tape. How good are they?
They're very good, and I think we've played them plenty of times to understand that. And Devontae's, really a ball hawk. He's made some great interceptions against us, especially. But he's very talented. He has all the tools of a great player. And Sean Smith's another. I mean, both those guys are the same age. And he's long. He's tall. He's physical. He covers well for a big guy. He moves very well. So they do. They have two very good corners. Benny Sapp, who's in there in nickel situations, is another very good player, experienced player, and has caused us some problems too. So It's a dangerous group. They're experienced in the secondary. They've been playing together now for a little while, and they're very good, especially when the pass rush gets going. It's loud at home. I think we experienced that last year when we were down there. They were really revved up early, and it was thank God for some special teams plays, but offensively we didn't play as well as we would have liked, and we're going to need to play a lot better this time down there.
The last time we spoke to you was after the Lions game, we're not happy, obviously. In the 2 weeks since then, are you more comfortable with where you are? Have you done enough in the last 2 weeks to be kind of ready on Monday night?
Yeah, and I think all the preparations over the last couple weeks have been for this night. So we've been working hard to get ready for opening night for obviously this week of practice. So look, things don't go well in the preseason, you correct them. Things don't go well in the regular season, you correct them. You're always trying to see the things that you did wrong so you can correct those things and improve on them. And then hopefully they get better over the course of the year. And, we're working at getting them better. I mean, you wish you had every single problem solved in week one, but, I think that's the goal, how realistic it is. We'll see when we take the field. But I'm excited to see where we're at. You're basing it against some pretty tough competition. We have a great test on Monday.
Excited to have another Gronkowski on the roster.
Yeah, he seems like he's excited to be here. I think the two brothers are, you know, giving each other headlocks in the locker room yesterday, and they're excited. And he seems to be a nice guy, mature, and he has some familiarity with what we've done being with Josh the last few years. So, you know, the more good players we have, the better the football team's going to be.
Tom, how aware of you of the clock ticking? You know, it's been a little while since you won a Super Bowl. You've had some injuries now. Yeah. How aware are you of, I guess, your own mortality, for, I don't want to get too dramatic, but just the idea of this window and the clock is ticking?
Well, I think you realize how tough it is to win games over the years, and I think that when you're out there as a veteran player and you provide the leadership for the team, because you've been experienced, I've been experienced in this program, that you know, we're hoping to go out there every year and put together a winning season, and it's frustrating when we don't do that. It's frustrating when we have a bad day of practice. So, you know, we're trying to make the improvements so that, you know, we can be a great football team, and that's a lot of things. That's consistency. That's playing well under tough conditions. That's playing well under pressure. You know, how this team stacks up against, you know, the people that we're going to face. That's why we're playing the games. So that's the stuff that coach stresses, that we got to go out there and practice at a high level. And you know, every time you take the field, it could be your last time. So, you know, you gotta put everything you can each week into the games. And you know, this week, you know, who knows? You know, if it's your last week, you really don't. And I think that maybe that perspective has helped me a little bit as well.
And, you know, if I said that to you 7 seasons ago and said this could be your last week, wouldn't you laugh me off because you were a young guy that had never been injured?
Probably, yeah. I think that, you know, when injuries are certainly a part of the game, and I've been very fortunate over the years to be able to play consistently. So it's fluky things that happen out there, and you sprain an ankle the wrong way and you're not out there and you can't help the team win. That's disappointing, because if you're not out there helping the team, you know, you're pretty much useless to the team. And, you know, missing a whole season, that was as hard as can be to watch. And, but, you know, you come back with hopefully more resiliency, a little bit more mental toughness, and you understand that each week You have a great gift. You got a gift to go out there and do something you really love to do, and to play at a high level, and ultimately to try to help your team win.
Following up on that closing window idea, a lot of players since 2001 have come aboard this team, whether it's Ted Washington or Corey Dillon, Fred Taylor, guys who have experienced a lot of success,
yep.
And then they come here with the hope of, look, I want to go deep in the playoffs and possibly win a championship. How does that alter the atmosphere in the locker room? What do those kind of guys bring?
I mean, the expectation that Coach Belichick, I mean, we have high expectations. I mean, Coach Belichick lays it on us every single day, what he expects from us. So when the new guys come in, it's you get used to the program pretty quick. He doesn't accept anything less than our best every day in practice, every day in the meetings, every day in the walkthrough. So when we're not performing at a high level, you're going to hear about it. So, you know, the new guys that come in, I mean, who knows? I've never been a new guy to come in, so I really don't know. You know, I just know that every time I take the field in practice, I'm trying to be a great leader for the team, trying to perform at my very best. And you know, that's a 365-day-a-year process. That's not something you just, okay, well, now it's first week of the regular season, let's really ramp it up. No, I mean, this has been something that's been on all of our minds for a very long time.
Guys who are almost specifically saying, hey, I'm here to win a ring, I've done all those other things, do they bring anything different to you since you get a sense of urgency from them in practice about getting it right as leaders, even if they're just in the order?
I'm not sure. I mean, look, it's hard to win games. I don't, you know, you can't come here and think, oh, just because now I'm on this team, it's going to be easy. You know, everyone starts at the same point every year. So, look, we've added new guys, other teams have added new guys. You know, we have new coaches, some other teams have new coaches. We're trying new things on offense, so are other teams. So, like I said, how it all comes together, you know, that's why we're playing the games. That's why we go out there and practice, to see how it all fits together. But, look, you win games and you put yourself in a good position, but, you know, you're trying to, that's what we're trying to do out here. We're trying to win these games. And, The game that we have coming up on Monday night against a division opponent, there's nothing more you could ask for to start the year. So, we're all excited. We're excited to be out there playing, in a big game, after a long way off, and we'll see where we measure up.
All right, there's Tom Brady, and you notice he talked about a little bit the roster fluctuation. He tends to not think it's a big deal. It probably isn't in the overall scheme of things. But you do want to have some familiarity level with the guy who's playing next to you in a game like this. And I think that's really where the concern comes. And as we've already talked about on the program today, the secondary right now doesn't have that, or at least not a lot of it. A couple more questions here. This one comes from Lucas, who says, I was a bit surprised at learning Warren was released just this morning, but I have a feeling he's going to come back right after the Finns game. Although, touching on the subject about defensive linemen, I believe it's better for the Pats to release a guy like Brace. There's a lot of expectations into Brace, and yet last year I was more captivated by seventh-round picked acquisition Brandon Dedrick, which leads me to saying that Pats should release Brace and fetch in free agency a secondary player. How do you feel about that? Well, first of all, they don't need to release Brace. He's on the PUP, which means he cannot be a part of the roster until week 7 anyway. So they've got time for him to get him, for him to improve health-wise. They would have cut him already if they didn't like Ron Brace, okay? That would already happen. I think that's the biggest thing you have to understand. Second of all, okay, release Brace to go get a secondary player. Okay, in theory that sounds fine. Who are you going to get? And if you're going to get somebody worth the darn, then why isn't he already in here? I mean, because they worked out over the last few days. Will Allen came in. We know that what's his name from Denver came in. So, I mean, they've been working guys out already. And if somebody was really in position to help now, they would have already signed them. So, I think they feel like Brace is still going to help them. They don't have to make a decision. This is kind of like having an extra taxi squad, if you will, for an extra 6 weeks into the regular season. So I'm not sure that that's really, I don't think they're going to make that trade. Gene says, all right, here are my 3 points of concern. Ocho's confidence. Number 2, safety next to Chung. Number 3, Vollmer's health. Okay. Ocho's confidence, I think, could be a legitimate concern. I'm willing to cut him some slack for the first, I said this yesterday, first 2 weeks of the season. Let's see how many times he's targeted in the offense. I'm not so sure, I'm really not sure I care about passes caught. I'm talking about times he's targeted. Because if he's targeted and he doesn't come up with the ball, now you might have a concern. But if he's not targeted, it means he's not in the game plan, which means it's not his fault that he doesn't appear to be active. Safety next to Chung, Barrett's going to get a shot. Ahedebo's going to get a shot. Sergio Brown's going to get the start. That's kind of what I think. Vollmer's health, we just talked about that. Yeah, if he isn't ready to go, then you have no depth at tackle. You got Matt Light, you got Nate Solder, and no depth. That is a concern. That might move to the top of the heap as far as I'm concerned. Vollmer's health. And then we got Simon, who says, guys, love the show. I work in a really quiet office. They think I'm nuts laughing at you when I listen in my lunch break. Managed to convert one of them into a Pats fan, though. All right, way to go, Simon. I live in Harrogate, England. I guess it's Harrogate or Harrogate. You'll have to let me know. The other day I had you guys on in the car, volume a little bit too loud, and you were in the middle of another rant and all talking over each other. Respectable elderly man came up to me, and I thought he was going to tell me to turn the volume down. Hell no! He wanted to say hello to a Pats fan. He was on holiday and recognized your voices. Guys, you're really famous. I only get to see my daughter once a month. She lives 300 miles away from me, and she listens to you with me in the car on my visits. I had to explain to her that you aren't fighting, you're really friends, just talking football. Going to see her on Friday for her birthday, the big 7 years old. Was hoping you could say a quick happy birthday to her, Ella. Happy birthday, Ella. It would make her day and improve my chances of keeping you tuned into my radio. Ella, happy birthday. Hopefully that keeps your pop around there. All right, next email will be football related when I have something interesting to contribute. Actually, white chocolate is best. Go Pats and F the Jets. Cheers, guys, from Simon. He says, the real reason for writing, he says, do you sell kids PFW T-shirts?
Hey, he asked me that on Facebook, I think.
Wants one for his daughter?
And I told him to write an email, so okay. I'll have to get Fred on that.
Good. All right, good. Joshua says, the handle for Russell S. Baxter on Twitter is at BaxFootballGuru, at B-A-X Football Guru. You should give it a shout-out on for your old buddy. I just did. He says, I'm following him. Glad to have Playbook back, and thanks. Yes, and Bax Football Guru will be with us in the Playbook tomorrow. But Pete Shepard's here right now. What's up, Big Pete?
Hello.
What's happening today?
Not much. Oh, lots going on.
What do you
think?
Weather
sucks again, but
what did you think about Warren?
Whole different roster. Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah, I kind of was, too.
Really. First one that really, I shouldn't say shocked. I was surprised. I mean, considering how Belichick called him in the offseason, made sure he's going to come back. And you know what? My gut feeling is he'll be back a week from today. Or maybe a week from a week. Yeah, by a week from today, I think he'll be back.
You think he'll be back that soon?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be that soon.
Well, I think he'll definitely be back at some point and probably be earlier rather than later.
Yeah.
They'll probably have to work out some issues. And maybe, as I had a previous email to talk about, maybe they decide to part ways with either Brace or Dedrick and decide to bring Warren back in.
Yeah. That's certainly a possibility. I just think, Bill went out of his way this year to contact him, made sure it told him what an integral part of the team that he was, and especially with Ty Warren being let go. I mean, he ended up getting injured, obviously, but, I thought Gerard played pretty well last year.
Consummate professional.
Absolutely.
He did everything they asked him to do. He actually gave him a lot last year. I thought he had a pretty good year.
I thought he did, too. I thought it was more than a pretty good year. I thought he did very well, but, it's so hard to try to figure out what is going on, because we're not at practice every day. We don't see everything every day. And obviously the economics of the game is involved and a big part of it. So, but I just think, maybe not next Wednesday, but maybe he'll be back in a week or two at the latest, I think.
Well, I would agree with that. I think he will definitely be back. We talked a little bit about, areas of concern on the team today and how the secondary seems to, at least just from the overall gist of it, from the reaction I got from, listeners today, that the secondary has got to be at the top of the list. But the offensive line is not far behind, especially now with apparently Vollmer. He was not at the, he was not at the visible portion of practice today.
No, but there's still a couple more days. So if he's there Thursday and Friday, I've learned not to get carried away what happens on Wednesday. As long as they're there Friday, that's the biggest thing. I know Bill has it, if you don't practice during the week, sometimes you don't play, but, he has had exceptions, and to me, if he's not there on Friday, that could be a concern. But the first injury report comes out tomorrow, so we'll see. A lot of guys that were in practice didn't practice Monday were all back today, which was a good thing. But I think what I'm concerned about a little bit is the secondary. I just don't know. I think there's talent there, but I just don't know how they're going to gel right off the bat. Like I said, I'm glad a guy like Kenny, even though he's had a decent preseason for him, but what does that really mean? What does that really mean? But I think this game is going to be, even if the Patriots win by double digits, it'll be a close double digits. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is not going to be they're not going to go down there, I think, and spank them.
No, I don't either.
Like by three touchdowns.
I don't think so either.
Don't see it. On the opening game, the way the heat is down there and opening night in Miami and more of a simplified offense. And I was talking to Omar Kelly yesterday from the South Florida Sun Sentinel talking about, a guy like Reggie Bush, who really is a good check down back and a good player for Henny, there could be some problems. I don't know how Miami stops the Patriots offense at all, to be honest with you, but I think the Miami offense might initially, because it's week one, might give the Patriots
a challenge
initially.
Yeah.
Taking all consideration, all the intangibles and everything going on, and the fact that it's in Miami opening night.
A lot of pressure on Chad Henne. Yeah. A lot of pressure on a team that lost 7 of 8 at home last year.
Exactly. One, that's tough. I mean, I know the Patriots whacked him twice last year. I think they outscored him 79-21.
Yeah,
but, again, that was last year. And again, I tell everybody, I never put what happened last year into this year. You get caught up on those trends, those silly trends that we all get caught up in because we all love numbers and percentages. But every single year there's his own entity. Tom was even talking about it today about – this team is not last year's team. I mean, some of the players are still there, but it's different.
Right. So, right. All right. What's coming up?
Well, just a lot of football stuff. And Jeff Darlinston from the Miami Herald will be joining me at 5:30. We'll talk about the Dolphins. And I was reading interesting comments, doing some more little research about AJ Edge. They picked up from Miami, and again, they weren't on Hard Knocks this year, like Danny Wood. But I got to tell you, reading the comments from a lot of the fans, and I don't, you know, they have a say, and some of the. I know it was a tough decision for Sperano to let this guy go because they're overloaded at linebacker down there. I think they had 10. And reading some of the other writers, this guy might end up being the Danny Woodhead of this year for the Patriots. Possibly. I'm not saying that kind of but I'm saying the potential.
He so might there's surprise. A prediction out there from you.
No,
right.
I'm saying watch this guy. He might he might surprise you because there are a lot of people upset the fact that they let him go. A lot of the fans were saying this is the kind of guy if he lands in the – this was before he got let go. They were saying this is the kind of guy if they let him go and lands in the AFC East will come back to bite you in the butt, which I love it.
All right.
So, it's interesting. It wasn't just one or two people. It was a lot of them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right. We'll Pete Shepard Show is coming up shortly. Our thanks to Andy Ken from Dolphins.com for joining us. Eric Scalavino, PFW. Eric will be back tomorrow, as will Russell Baxter, Bax Football Guru. At Bax Football Guru is where you can get him now. He's also working for ProFootballGuru.com. Brian Begain from the Palm Beach Post tomorrow in hour number one. Russell Baxter will be with us in hour number two. Mr. Numbers, he will look inside the numbers. And we'll get a look at week one in the NFL in addition to the Patriots and Dolphins. Same patch time, same patch channel tomorrow, kids. Pete's up next.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !!! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.